Accession number 30256.
Dora Stuckey, Real One. So if I can just ask when and where you were born.
I was born in Middlesbrough on Tees.
I'm just checking that we're recording. Yes, and when was that?
1922.
I just want to make sure that we get your voice properly. 1922. What was the area like?
The area. Well, we lived in a little cottage. I was born in a little town cottage. It was nice. Just round the corner from the high school, and the boys used to come out. We might be sitting playing, my sister and I. I had an older sister, 2 years older than me, we might be sitting in the doorway, you know, just playing with our dolls or something, and my mother would say, "Now come along, Ingrid, come," because the boys used to come round the corner so quickly on their bikes, and she was frightened, you know, that we would get knocked over. I remember there, the coal carts coming along, with these huge, ghastly sort of horses. I suppose they weren't ghastly, really. They were probably quite nice, but they got fed up with pulling carts. But they were very big, huge horses. And I remember being very frightened one day by one of these, because it was coming up onto the pavement, which was quite narrow. And it was quite a nice sort of
area,
place to live. Yeah.
What did your parents do?
My father was in taxes, Inland Revenue, but that wasn't until later. Actually, he worked for a Mr. Hall. He was tax and rent collector, because in those days taxes weren't collected by a government department. But after that, he took his examination to join the civil service, and he passed with flying colours, I understand, and was sent down to Winchester in Hampshire. So we all came down to Winchester to live.
Go on.
No.
I was just going to say, and what? And your mum, was your mum at home?
My mother?
Yes.
Yes, she was, yes. Yes, she worked during the war. She managed a shoe shop, I think. It was quite a big shoe shop in Middlesbrough during the war, when my father was in the war. He was in the horse artillery. You know, it was quite an important thing, really, shoes in those days. Working shoes, and, you know, not just shoes for fashionable shoes, but, you know, all kinds of shoes, she sold.
And how about you? Where did you go to school in that area as well?
I went to Grove Hill. It was just an ordinary council school. And, yes, that was a nice school, yes.
And what happened? How old were you when the war broke out?
When the war broke out, I was 17. And I worked at Boots then, for Boots the chemist. And during that time, would you like to tell me to tell you a little story about that? Which was rather interesting. At that time, of course, it was Dunkirk. And of course, a lot of the troops came through Winchester. They'd gone out, they'd gone that way and they came back that way, to go to Barton Stacey camp, where they sort of sorted them out and, you know, sent them home or wherever, to their companies or wherever they were supposed to be going, because it was all a bit chaotic. And commander, head of the commanders, Lord Lovat came into Boots to have his feet dressed, and I was there when it was done by the nurse. I didn't do it because I was wasn't the nurse, but I was working on that department, and so I saw what was going on.
What was he like?
He was lovely, tall and handsome, fair. Yes, lovely.
Yeah. And did you, I think your husband was saying that you didn't join up because you must have been working in taxes at that point.
Was
that after Boots? What happened?
Yes, I joined the Inland Revenue in the inspectors department, not the collectors, and it was a reserved occupation. I didn't know that when I joined, so I have to say. But they wouldn't let you go to join the services. You had to stay put.
And he was saying were you involved in politics at this time? Because he was saying that you'd gone.
Not at that time. No, I wasn't. It was slightly later than that. Although I have to say that from the age of 10, I suppose, round about that age, I was very aware that that things for poor people weren't exactly as they should be. You know, that a lot needed to be done, and living in Middlesbrough, you know, it was very much one was made aware of it because she saw it all the time. Poverty, and so I was very aware from an early age. In fact, shall I go back to that? One day I said to my father, there was a place called Cannon Street. It was very much a very poor and dreadful sort of place to live. That would be down near the dock area, and. And I said to my father one day, we must have been talking about it at school, will you take me to see it, to see these slums? And
must have been an unusual request.
A bit odd. And one Saturday he said to me, all right then, come on, get on your bike, we'll go. And he took me to see the slums. So I think I was very aware at a very early age, really. Not because of anything my parents did or said. I mean, they, they weren't always talking about that sort of thing. But and I suppose I just picked it up.
It was something that mattered.
Yeah.
And so I'm wary of sort of just jumping to the working in the segregated canteens in case I miss anything. But your husband mentioned that you volunteered to work.
Yes.
Why was that? How did that come about?
Well, you see, during the war, moving up to the invasion, Winchester was absolutely chock-a-block with troops. Especially Americans, awful lot of them there. And of course they were all separated, you know, the blacks were separated from the whites. Well, I didn't like the idea of that, I thought that was wrong.
Was that just you? Or I mean, was that a general feeling within the British population?
Or that was just me? Yes, I think it was. I don't remember discussing it with anybody. Perhaps I was too private a person for that. I probably was. Probably too shy and sort of, not exactly shy, but I think I'm a bit inclined to sort of keep things to myself. And they had a canteen in the high street where all the blacks went, and nobody would go, and none of the white girls would go to these canteens to help, you know, make sandwiches and all that sort of thing. So I did volunteer to do a stint there. Yes, I did.
And how did that go down? What was the reaction?
Oh well, my father was used to me being a little bit odd. So no, they didn't mind, my parents. No, I don't know. I don't suppose I told anybody very much.
Because you were aware it could be viewed in a problematic way.
Yes, but the black fellows were a bit sort of wary of me, I think, helping. They wondered why a white girl went. I got that impression that they wondered why a white girl would go to their canteen to help. It's very difficult to explain, isn't it?
Well, not now, perhaps.
Not now,
it makes a
but
lot
it
of
was
sense.
Then. Yes, very difficult to explain to them.
Did you get talking to them at all while you were working?
A little, yes, but it was quite sort of they kept their place very much, and it was a bit sad, really, because so many of them were what we used to call and would have called in the old days cannon fodder, if you know what I mean. Very sad, really.
What was the general reaction? I mean, the sort of Winchester inhabitants. Was there much racism or stigma or?
I don't think so. No, I think it was just a question of they were sort of got on with their lives and we got on with ours. No, I don't think people used to say nasty things. No, no, definitely not. No, no, just accepted it.
Mm-hmm. And was there anything else? Your wartime experience? Was there? So you were working in the canteen. You were doing taxis during the day, presumably.
Yeah.
Did anything else happen during that time? That's memorable, or?
Well, as regards to war. Yes, we were living in Hyde, which is the part of Winchester. I don't know if Douglas talked about it, where the Hyde Abbey was, and Alfred, King Alfred, was buried, supposed to be. He talked to about the grave and.
No, he didn't.
They've never found his grave. He was buried there somewhere on the Abbey grounds, but they've never actually found a grave, and they've made a garden there in memory of Alfred. Yes, it's worth a visit, really.
I'll have to go.
Now, what was I saying about the war? Yes, we lived in Hyde. And one morning I was going to work early with my father, because we used to walk up together, and he used to walk often with his friend, a man called Hodder, who had a rather nice sort of antique furniture shop in Jury Street. And there would be children walking to school, and my friend Sheila, who also worked in the tax office, and a bomb dropped. When I got to work, I heard a funny noise, a plane, and I sort of looked out of the window, and I looked up and saw this plane, because it didn't sound like one of ours, and. I could see the swastika on the side. It was quite low down, actually, and then the bombs started to fall out. So fall like this, because they were obviously going in the direction of my home. So I ran downstairs to where my father was, and said, "You'd better go home, see if mother's all right, because you know, there's bombs dropping." It was sort of jaw dropped. And he did go to see. Well, she was all right, but my father's friend, Hodder, Mr. Hodder, was killed, and two or three of the children. And he died trying to push them under a cart to save them. But and my friend Sheila was blown into a doorway, because we were early, Dad and I, that morning. We were going to work, and we went early for some reason, so we missed it. So, you know, we just sort of felt, well, you know, it wasn't meant for us.
That's great. Thank you. Is that... Yeah? Was there anything else? Or?
And they did drop one or two bombs, but mostly they were jettisoned because our house was near a recreation ground. Very large, with lots of water, streams and things running through it. And so the planes used to come over and try and jettison their bombs, to be fair to them, on the green. And so we had quite a few around us from time to time.
Thank you very much.